Blog Talk Radio.
That the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning, blessed to be a child of God, blessed to have experienced a wonderful revival on last night. Shout out to Pastor Porter and his church family for coming and joining us at the table last night, where truly you find love, peace, and joy, food for the soul and food for the body. Hallelujah. What a day we have had. It has been awesome. And all I can say is thank you, God, for all that you have done and continue to do at the table of life. Our children will be going forth tonight as we have our first youth explosion. Youth engaged spiritually, yes, is what we want our children to say, yes to God, yes to whatever it is that they are called to do, to say yes, because God has called us for such a season. He has called us for such a time as this for our children to rise up and go forth. I'm believing God for some miracles, for some signs, for some wonders, for children and their parents who do not know the Lord to be saved, set free, and filled with his Holy Spirit. I'm believing God for some great things this evening. And so, good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely, cool morning? It's a little chilly outside today. Let's try this again. Good morning, Mother Valerie. Your mic was not on my part. So, again, good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing great. The temperature is 43, and we went from hot weather back to cold weather. God is still good.
Hey, it's all good. It's so real. It's good. It's good. And you know what? Chris is not bad. I love a nice, crisp morning, where you can come out and you can smell the freshness of the day. You can smell the freshness of the air. A little chilly, but feels real good. So I have no complaints. And I'm grateful that my heat pump is working well because it switched over the heat instead of the cold. So I'm feeling pretty good, nice and toasty this morning when I got up. So I'm feeling well and thanking God for it. So let's get into a word this morning, Mother Valerie. And the word is this: God can use the great and small to do his will. Woo! When he gave me this on yesterday, you know, I was like right after we finished yesterday morning getting ready for work, and this word came into my spirit. God can use the great and small to do his will. Mother Valerie, you sent me a picture of my grandson with his hand up praying over someone on Sunday. It touched my heart. It touched all of our hearts because it just shows the word of God coming to life, and a little child shall lead them. A little child shall lead them. And that is what I'm looking for today. Children to lead. Children to take us to the next century, to the next generation, to take us higher and better, to have better aspirations for our world than even we do. You know, and it shows that even in this world that we're going to talk about this morning, you know, women were just like today, almost second class. You know, you had men were the strong and women were, you know, put on the back burner to take care of the home, take care of the kids, take care of the tent, take care of everything. You know, go get the water, go water the sheep, go do this, go do that, go, go, go. But they were not meant to lead in war. But in this word today, we have a mighty judge, a woman judge named Deborah, who was tough as nails. And when Barak came to her and said, well, I'm not going unless you go with me. She's like, okay. But I'm going to tell you something, because she's a prophetess and a powerful one at that. She said, then a woman will get the credit. And again, this little small woman is going to do the job that this big, strong warrior couldn't do. And we'll get the credit. God can use the great and small to do his will. God used David to do the will of God. Jerusalem didn't get cleaned out from the Jebusites until David's time. Now understand, you got Rahab, you got Ruth, so you got generations before you ever get to David. Come on now. Because Rahab was in the time of Joshua. Ruth came right after that time, down the road. And then you finally get David. So you're looking at least a good 100 to 300 years that David comes along and cleans out what should have been done at least a good century before him. Cleans out Jerusalem, the Benjamites, promised Lot, David. We got to understand everything is for a purpose and a reason. But God can use anyone. We already know God used a donkey to talk to Balaam. God can use all of us, our children, even the babies God can use. Because I look at Michael, who's a baby that comes on Thursday nights because his mom works on Sundays. And Michael, who was just quiet when he came, or he would cry. He didn't want anybody to talk to him. And this little boy just sat down beside Michael last night and thought that, and was a little chatterbox. And I'm like, shh. And my grandson said, I heard him telling him, you got to be quiet. You got to be quiet. It was funny because my six-year-old was trying to tell this two-year-old to be quiet. And it was the cutest thing. And I thought, Lord, look at you. You got even Michael. And he even came and gave me a hug, which was like an impossibility before. He wasn't talking to nobody but his mom and his god aunt. You know, he wasn't playing with that. Nope, I don't know y'all people, and I'm not talking. But he was a sweetie pie. And so God's using children to unharden hearts and bring adults to Christ. So let's keep praying for our children and for God to continue to use the great and the small to do his will. Heavenly Father God, we come to you right now with humble hearts, lifting up the name of Jesus, lifting up this mighty word, lifting up the prophets and judges of old who did your will, God. Let us walk in faith, walk in righteousness, walk in grace to do the will of you, God, not us. It's not about us, God. It's about souls being saved, set free to come into your kingdom one day, Lord. We want to be like Aunt Rita. We want to know where we're going because we know that we live the right life, God. We want to live a right and righteous life without our tongues speaking negatives. Let us speak positives, Lord God. Let us pray for the weary. Let us pray for the disheartened. Let us pray for those that cannot help themselves, God. We pray for the houseless, God. We pray for those that are on the street, God. We pray for those who just are looking for something, God. May they find that something in you to fill the holes in their hearts, God. And Father God, as we lift up this mighty word this morning, we ask you, God, to watch over the people of Israel and the people of Gaza, God, because weapons have no targets when it comes to bombs dropping. God, they have already suffered enough, God. And the people of Israel, we don't want to suffer like the ones in Gaza. Lord God, we're praying for both countries. We're praying for the whole area, God. We're even praying for Iran, God, and Iraq, God, and all those in between, Saddam. We're praying for all of those people, God, in Syria. We're praying for every last nation, every last place, even Saudi Arabia, God, we're praying. For Egypt, we're praying for all of the Middle East, God, and Africa, too. We're praying for your people, God. We're praying for our world, God. We're lifting up our planet, God, because nuclear war doesn't have a location, because the wind carries that awful danger, those substances all over the planet. Father God, we're praying for folks with common sense to understand that war is not something that is just for the great, that it affects the small. It affects those that are not in leadership. It affects the common man, God. War is not a great thing. It's a horrible thing with horrible consequences for generations to come. So, Father God, I pray for our planet. I pray for the people in it. Your word says what we loose on this earth, we loose in heaven. God, we're not trying to loose war on this planet. We're trying to loose peace. We're trying to loose joy. We're trying to loose companionship and love and kindness. We're trying to loose the fruit of the Spirit, God. We're trying to loose all those things that are yours. Father God, we pray today for peace, for love, for kindness, for gentleness. We pray for folks to know that they are special because they were created by you. So, Father, as we lift up this word, I lift up our world, asking you, God, to come in and protect it. Let your angels in heaven stop the weapons of war from even working, that as they try to launch a missile, it won't work. As they try to launch a weapon of destruction, it will not work. Lord God, send the rain and the storms, the thing that needs to come to stop the craziness that's going on. Protect your people, God. Protect Jerusalem. Protect Israel. Protect the people of the Middle East, all of them. For they all are yours, God. And we're asking you, God, for your grace and your mercy to reign in this world. In Jesus' name, again, Lord, forgive us for all sins committed in thought, word, or deed, word spoken and unspoken. We ask forgiveness, God, before we go forth. And we ask, Lord God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are our strength and you are our redeemer. For you are mighty God. You are the great Jehovah. You are everything. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I get emotional when I think about all the things that are happening on our planet. So for God to come in and take over and to show mankind that we are on the wrong track, that we are on a track to destruction, and that there is no such thing as a big I and a little you, because everybody falls when there's war. It affects everyone. And so we pray, and that's all we can do. We pray for good leadership. We pray for men of conscience. We pray for those that love God, truly love God, more than they love power. So let's keep it moving, family, as we go back into the time of the judges. And our judge for today is a mighty woman of God. And her name is Deborah. And when we get to her, just know that God can use anyone. There are those to this day who believe that women should not preach, that women should not be in the pulpit, that women should not do anything but have babies and keep a house. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And cater to their husbands. And I believe in the power of love, but I also believe that God calls many. One of my favorite people is Pastor Frederick Wilson, Jr., our number two. And Pastor Fred started ministering at 11 years old, still just as powerful today, because now he has the knowledge through Oxford, through Moody Bible Institute. He's educated, as well as called and chosen. So I shout out to Pastor Fred this morning. And I say this because we never know who God can use, even a child. And I'm believing God for some children of the Table of Life ministry to rise up and to minister and to preach. A prophetic word was called over my grandson last night that he will be a preacher one day. And I believe that. Because I'm pouring into him now, training up that child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from the word of God. He will not depart from speaking right to wrong. Hallelujah. And ministering, even right now, I have heard him trying to minister to other children. That's not right. God said that we should do what's right. You know, I'm teaching him the Ten Commandments. So that when someone's lying, he'll know it and say, ah, the word of God says, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness. I'm going to teach it, I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to live it because I want him to see the godliness in me. Hallelujah. And the word of God says in Judges, we will be in Judges chapter 3 through chapter 8 this morning. So get your Bible because this is Bible study. This is the word of God going into the atmosphere. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord this morning. And it says, now these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them, that is all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. Maybe that's what's going on right now. That God is teaching. It's a teaching moment in our world. And it says, namely, five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonese, which are still there, and the Havites, who dwell in Mount Lebanon, the Lebanese still there, from Mount Baal Hermon to the entrance of Ammon. And they were left that he might test Israel by them, to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Not a whole bunch of extra stuff that was man-made, that even the people that made the law, the word of God, thou shalt not have thou shalt. Those are the words of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And folks have put people as gods before our God. And God is not happy about it. We wonder why we have all the confusion, because folks are worshiping people and idols, and folks that, because they got money, they think that they should worship them. Money is the root of all kinds. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and we need to understand that. You got arms dealers just rubbing their hands together because of what is to come if we, as people of God, don't pray. Not trying to preach this morning, but these things are in my spirit. Woke me up early this morning just in prayer and tears for our world. And it says this, he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. He wants us to follow the law. Thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and they took their daughters to their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. Idolatry. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherah. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was not against Israel, and he sold them. He was hot. It was hot. He was boiling upset against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cush, the Cushan, Rashtan, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan, Rishathaim, 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Orthanah, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Orthanel, the son of Kenaz, died. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, went into Israel and took possession of the city of Baal. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer from them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him the children of Israel went to tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Not Ehud made himself a dagger. It was a double-edged and cobalt in length, and fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. He said, keep silent, and all who attended him went out from him. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. And Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, but he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. Then Ehud went out through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. When he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked, So they said he is probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they waited till they were embarrassed and still had not opened the doors of the upper room. Therefore, they took the key and opened them, and there was their master fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud had escaped while they delayed and passed beyond the stone images and escaped to Sirah. And it happened when he arrived that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. Woo! Tough as nails. So they went down after him, seized the fords of the Jordan, leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. Time they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor. Not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox gourd, and he also delivered Israel. And I'll read all life lessons from chapters 3, 4, and 5 after I finish chapter 5, just for those who are wondering where the life lessons are. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Hogam. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lippadot, was judging Israel at that time, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of David's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh. He went up with 10,000 men under the command, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite of the children of Obab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites near the cherubim trees of Zanim, which is beside Kedesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinadab, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people with him from Harosh, Higgoyim, to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Horesheth-Hogayim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazar, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, take aside, my lord. Turn aside to me. Do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent. And if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here? You shall say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground. For the Lord had given her that supernatural strength to hit that peg so hard that it went through his head and skull into the ground. Ooh, hallelujah. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And then as Barak was through Sarah, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a pig in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. God used a woman. Come on now. And it says that Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, sang on that day, saying, when leaders lead in Israel, for willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Shur, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord. This Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shemgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Bitter life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among the 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. Speak you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire and who walk along the road, far from the noise of the archers among the watering places. There they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for his villages in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinadab. Then the survivors came down, the people against the nobles. The Lord came down for me against the mighty. From Ephraim were those whose roots were in Amalek. After you, Benjamin, with your people from Mikar, rulers came down. From Zebulun, those who bore the recruiter's staff, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. As Issachar, so was Barak. Sent into the valley under his command among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flock? The divisions of Reuben have great searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And why did Dan remain on ships? Asher continued at the seashores and stayed by his inlets. Zebulun and the people who jeopardized their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. The kings came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan fought in Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They took no spoils of silver. They fought from the heavens. The stars from their forces fought against Assyria. The torrent of Kishon swept them away. That ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. Oh, my soul, march on in strength. Then the horse's hooves pounded, the galloping, galloping of his steeds. Curse Miraz from the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. He asked for water, she gave him milk. She brought out cream in a lordly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tin peg, her right hand to the workman's hammer. She pounded Sisera, she pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. At her feet he sank, he fell, he lay still. At her feet he sank, he fell. Where she sank there, the mother of Sisera looked through the window and cried out through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarries the clatter of his chariot? Her wishes, her wisest ladies answered her. Yes, she answered herself. Are they not finding and dividing the spoils to every man or girl or two? But Sisera plundered of dyed garments, plunder of garments embroidered and dyed, to pieces of dyed embroidery for the neck of the looter. Thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in its full strength. So the land had rest for 40 years. The land had rest for 40 years. God knows exactly what he's doing. He will use the least among us to do great things for the Lord. Jael, this woman, did a great thing for the Lord and brought peace for 40 years. Judges 3 and 6, they took their daughters to their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. Marriage can make or break one's faith. Judges declared that Israel fell into idolatry by marrying into it, just as King Solomon would many years later. See 1 Kings 11 and 4, Christians are not to marry unbelievers, period. That's the word. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. We are not to marry unbelievers. We cannot fall into idolatry. Got to be careful. Judges 3 and 12. The Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. When we make it a habit to disobey him, God may take an active role in increasing the power of our enemies. He does this so we will repent and return to him, not to destroy. God is not playing. Judges 4 and 7, against you I will deploy Sisera. Note that the Lord says, I will deploy Sisera. The enemy commander, God is sovereign. Even the movement of enemy troops is subject to his rule. And we better understand what's going on right now. It's subject to God's rule. People better charge of everything. And nothing happens without God's approval. And we better understand it. Judges 4:15. The Lord routed Sisera. The Bible declares that the Lord routed Sisera. The sword of Barak and his men were only secondary. As David said years later, the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. 1 Samuel 17 and 47. Deborah, a mother of Israel. It's a life lesson for us. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Deborah other than to call her a prophetess, a highly esteemed judge of Israel, and the wife of Lippadot, who we don't know if scripture description of her as a mother in Israel means that she had children or that she cared for Israel as only a loving mother could. We do not know why God chose Deborah to become a judge. That seems strange in a culture generally ruled by men. We do not know that Deborah loved God and served him faithfully. We do know that Deborah loved God and served him faithfully. We do know The people trusted her, that even the commander of the army, Barak, respected her leadership. Deborah's example indicates that it doesn't take a certain set of credentials to become an effective servant of God. The Lord uses a person who listens to him and obeys. Deborah made herself available to God, and God made her victorious. Again, as we go to our title this morning, God can use the great and small to do his will. God can use the great and the small to do not my will, but his will. Judges 5 and 13. The Lord came down for me against the mighty. When we face off against the mighty, we need the Lord to help us. If we want to win, then we will get on our knees in prayer. The secret to success remains the same throughout the Bible. The presence of God, when he is with us, or more accurately, when we are with him, success naturally follows. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Good morning, people of God. It's a beautiful, cool morning. Temperature is 43 degrees. God is just a good God all the time. Coming out of Judges chapter 6. Then the children of Israel did evil. They did it again. You know, without God's mercy and his love and his mercy and his forgiveness, we just couldn't stand. It said, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. You know, you just have to do what God wants you to do. And the hand of the Midianites prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens of the caves and the strongholds, which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites would come up. Also, Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gezer, leave no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. They would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat upon the teepee tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Amorite, which his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not? But he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Title, God can use the great and small to do his will. Gideon felt that he was the least in his father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Excuse me. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from ephod of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the brow in the pot. He brought them out to him under the tebet tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock. Pour out the brow, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock, consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Angel of the Lord departed out of the sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abelites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull and the second bull of the seven young old and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the wooden image that is beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took two men from among his servants, did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household, the men of the city, too much to do it by day, he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which has been built. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son, that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of the Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death. By morning, if he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar. All the Midianites and the Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together and crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, that he blew the trumpet, he blew the trumpet, and the Ephraimites gathered beside him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And so Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I'll put a piece of wood on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground that there be dew. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. Gideon fleeced God, and Gideon thought he was so small, but the title is God Can Use the Great and Small to Do His Will. Gideon kept pleasing God, but God kept answering him. Judges chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Peor, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 25,000 of the people return, and 10,000 remain. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. When you brought the people down to the water, the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who leapt from the water with his tongue as a dog leapt, you should set apart for himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who leapt, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who leapt, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent them away, all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. God's going to use 300 men, only 300. My goodness, just 300 men. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to them, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And therefore, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley, as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me, do likewise, watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you should do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you should also blow the trumpet on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outposts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran, cried out, and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Asher towards Zebra, as far as the border of Abel-Mohalah by Taba. And the men of Israel gathered together from Netilah, Asher, and all of Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers to all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize them, for the watering place is far at Bethzer and the Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering place, for it's Bethzer and the Jordan. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Orb and Zeb. They killed Orb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued the Midians and brought the heads of Orb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Wow. All of this was done through God because Gideon obeyed God. Now the men of Ephraim said to him, why have you done this to us for not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they recommended him shortly. So he said to them, what have I done in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of ABZ? God has delivered into your hands the prince of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you? Then the anger toward him subsided when he said that. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted, but still in pursuit. Then he said to the men of Sephkah, please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted. I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmanah, king of Midian. And the leaders of Zephkah are in the hands of Zeba and Zalmanah. Now in your hand that we should give bread to your army? So Gideon said, for this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmanah into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Then he went up from there to Pinah and spoke to them in the same way. The men of Pinah answered him as the men of Sakkar had answered. He also spoke to the men of Pinah, saying, when I come back in peace, I'll tear down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmanah were at Kara, and the armies with them, about 15,000, all who was left, and all of the army of the people of the east, or 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. Then Gideon went up by the road of those who dwell in the tents on the east of Nobath and Jobiah, and he attacked the armies while the camp felt secure. When Zeba and Zalmanah fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmanah, and routed the whole army. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle from the ascent of Perez. Then he caught a young man at the man of Sukkah and interrogated him. He wrote down for him the leaders of Sukkah and his elders. 77 men came to the men of Sukkah and said, here are Zeba and Zalmanah, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmanah not in your hands, that we should give bread to your weary men? He took the elders of the city, thorns of the wilderness, and briars, and with them he taught the men of Zephkah. Then he tore down the tower of Pinah and killed the men of the city. And he said to Zeba and Zalmanah, what kind of men were there whom you killed at Tabor? So they answered, as you are, so were they. Each one resembled the son of a king. Then he said, they were my brothers, the son of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you. And he said to Jason, his firstborn, rise and kill him. But the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid because he was still a youth. But Zeba and Zalmanah said, rise yourself and kill us. For as a man is, so is his strength. So Gideon arose and killed Zeba and Zalmanah and took the crescent ornaments that were on their camel's neck. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son and your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of the Midianites. But Gideon said to them, I'll not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Then Gideon said to them, I would like to make a request of you that each of you give me the earrings from his quonda. for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. So they answered, we will gladly give them. And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it the earrings from his plunder. Now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes which were on the kings of Midian, and besides the chains that were around their camel's neck. Then Gideon made it into the ephod and set it in his city, Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so they lift their heads no more. And the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Then Zubah, the son of Joaz, went and dwelt in his own house. Gideon had 70 sons who were his own offspring, for he had many wives. And his concubines, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, for he named Amalek. Now Gideon, the son of Joaz, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joaz, his father in Ophrah of Amalek. So it was, as soon as Gideon was dead, children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Bertha their god. Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side, nor did they show kindness to the house of Jubal, Gideon, in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. You know, if it wasn't for God's mercy and kindness, God is just merciful, and he forgives. God forgives when we rebel against him. God is just a good God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget, and the title was, God Can Use the Great and Small to Do His Will, just like he used Gideon. Gideon felt that he was small. Pastor? Pastor Bridget can use anybody, for God is a good God. God is good all the time, and God don't make mistakes. When God calls you, he don't make mistakes. He don't make mistakes. Judges 7, 9, and 15, life lesson. When adversity strikes, we find out that we are made, we find out what we're made of. Perhaps you said in the aftermath of some hardship, before this happened, I never would have thought that I could deal with something like that. Gideon had that type of understanding. When the angel of the Lord said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor, Gideon automatically responded, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? The Lord has forsaken us. Gideon saw himself and his people as weak, unworthy. The Lord replied almost as if he hadn't heard him, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Again, Gideon replied with an extremely low view of himself, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Once more, the Lord encouraged Gideon, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Friend, when the Lord calls you strong, don't declare yourself weak. When the Lord says you are forgiven, don't dwell on your sins. When the Lord says you are righteous, don't see yourself as guilty. Never try to cope with adversity on your own. You need the Lord's help. We cannot help ourselves at any time. We need the Lord's help every hour of every day of every year. And he is our ever-present help. Gideon remembered that lesson when God instructed him to fight the Midianites with only 300 men. That is why he was able to motivate his troops with such courage, saying, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Gideon saw the victory because he trusted the Lord, and God got the glory. Our strength lies in the Lord and not in ourselves. There is no comparison between the might and ability of God and of humankind. He is infinite. We are finite. When we rely on the Lord, we have access to his unlimited power and wisdom, and therefore We will not end up failures. However, when we attempt to rely on ourselves, usually we fail miserably and often suffer even more adversity. Don't make that mistake. Rather, like Gideon, depend on God's strength. God can work through your weakness in miraculous ways. So trust over to pass the bridges.
Wow, what a mighty word. God can use the great and the small to do his will. I'm just so filled up today. This has been a great word this morning. And I have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And again, all up in our words today. Faith doesn't prevent life from happening. It carries you through the happenings of life. Have a faith-filled Friday. Gideon had to have faith. Jael had to have faith. Deborah had to have faith. They had to have faith to know that God would bring them through everything. That God would bring them through. And he did. The least among us can be the greatest for God. And so all I can say is, wow. What a word, Mother Valerie. What a word.
Amen.
I know we're a little over this morning, but when God is in the midst, you just let it roll. And God had to get the word out. And I have a word from our prayer book that's also right there with our word for today. And it says, caring enough. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? And we know that. What does it gain a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And it says, God of all my days, you see every dream locked inside my heart. You know every longing, every desire. You see the purely motivated and those that's honoring my heart. As I journey with you in this life, I pray that my heart would stay soft towards you. May I never grow cold with the selfishness of sin that causes me to act without compassion and react out of fear. What a miserable way to live. What would I gain if I had all the success I ever dreamed, but live with a cold, angry heart? If I lost my connection with you, choosing my own interest over the way of love, I would be at a disadvantage. Lord, keep me close to you so that I may respond to your love at every turn. There is nothing like the fruit that comes from living a life connected to you. Ooh, Lord, what motivations are driving your goals? And I have one last word, and it says, defeat is impossible. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, not be dismayed. 1 Chronicles 22:13. And our last prayer as we wrap up this morning. God, my Father, you are the leader of my life. May I never walk away from your wisdom that brings life. As long as my life is joined to yours, I will taste the fruit of your kingdom, carrying it with me into every situation. I will not be dismayed when the timing of your promises does not match up with my own. Encourage my heart when disappointment starts to set in. Keep my heart woven into yours, giving me the strength and courage I need to keep going. Walking in the confidence of you who are, I will find the satisfaction I'm looking for. How could I miss it when it is all based in you? Your strength becomes my own as I lean on you. I don't have to trust in my own abilities. Gideon didn't have to trust in his own abilities. Jael didn't have to trust in her own abilities. Deborah and Barak didn't have to trust in their own abilities. They trusted in God. I don't have to trust in my own abilities. Mother, we don't have to trust in our own abilities because we trust in God. What a relief. Thank you for your grace that leads me into the abundance of life in you. And the question again is, what unknown outcomes are keeping you from showing up with courage? We got to show up and show out for God. Thanking God for this great word this morning. Again, if there's anybody, I know we're a little over, that has a word that God has placed on your heart, now is the time to push that one on your phone. If not, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that God is in charge of everything. We thank him today. We thank him tomorrow. We thank him always. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Have a blessed and wonderful day. As Sister Carolyn so graciously put it, faith doesn't prevent life from happening. It carries you through the happenings of life. Have a faith-filled Friday, family, and join me again on Sunday through for our Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament words. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Keep trusting God and keep lifting up the table of life, that children will be saved on this night that do not know the Lord. Have a great day. It's a wrap, Mother Valerie.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.